Don't Procrastinate Temple Marriage, Elder Eldred G. Smith. Eldred G. Smith, Conference Report, October 1953, pages 31-32. I sincerely seek an interest in your faith and prayers in my behalf. I feel that I could say amen to all that has been said thus far in this conference. I am sure that I can say amen to all that shall be said. There has been a question come to me as the thought that I would like express here today. A question was put to me recently, which I have heard many times, and I am sure many of you have heard the same question. A young lady asked, "What difference does make whether I go to the temple to be married now, or whether I wait a few years after we are married, and go to the temple? Are not they just the same?" These questions come always from those who are members of the church and who should know and understand the blessings and purpose of temple marriage. When I asked, "Why not go to the temple at first?" I got the usual stock answer, "Oh, I intend to go to the temple but not now, later. I am young and I have plenty of time." I recall a friend of mine who had somewhat the same attitude. They wanted to wait a few years, and they have waited. They have waited 24 years now. They have two grown children, a son and a daughter. None of the family are active in the church anymore. Their interests lie in a more worldly direction. Another man told me of his experience. He was married in California. They intended to go to the temple. They made several trips to Salt Lake City. Never was it quite convenient enough to go to the temple. Even though they did make many trips to Salt Lake City, eventually his wife lost interest in the church and in church activity. He lost interest in attending his meetings. Then soon his wife lost interest in him and eventually left him, and as a result he lost his wife and children. He has since returned to church activity, and he testified to me that if he had made the effort to go to the temple, he knew he would not have lost his wife and children. I am sure there are many other such experiences which could be related and of which you know. Those who so procrastinate surely do not fully understand what celestial marriage means to them. They must act on faith. A full knowledge of such things comes only from faithful obedience. To those who marry in the temple, the Lord has made this promise, "Ye shall come forth in the first resurrection, and if it be after the first resurrection, in the next resurrection, and shall inherit the thrones, kingdoms, principalities, and powers, dominions, all heights and depths. It shall be done unto them in all things whatsoever my servant hath put upon them, in time, and through all eternity, and shall be a full force when they are out of the world, and they shall pass by the angels, and the gods, which are set there, to their exaltation and glory in all things, as hath been sealed upon their heads, which glory shall be a fullness and a continuation of the seats forever and ever. Then shall they be gods, because they have no end, therefore shall they be from everlasting to everlasting, because they continue. Then shall they be above all, because all things are subject unto them. Then shall they be gods, because they have all power, and the angels are subject unto them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye abide my law ye cannot attain to this glory." How can a person understand that promise and take such a chance? So to procrastinate is the greatest gamble on earth. You gamble with death. Each day spent is a day closer to death and the day of judgment. A man is judged by the knowledge given him. Where much is given, much is expected. To those who have been given the knowledge and the opportunity of temple marriage and then procrastinate, they are gambling the eternal blessings of Godhood for a few earthly pleasures. There just isn't any sympathy for a man who knows he has had his chance and has deliberately forfeited it. The Lord referred to such people in his parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 who were wise and kept oil in their lamps and the 5 foolish who procrastinated until it was too late, and they were therefore shut out of the kingdom. The author of the following poem is anonymous, but surely it was written about many of us. "I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. Real service is what I desire. I'll say what you want me to say, but don't ask me to join the choir. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I like to see things come to pass, but don't ask me to teach anywhere. I would much rather stay in my class. I'll give what you want me to give. Dear Lord, I yearn for the kingdom to thrive. I'll give you some pennies and nickels, but don't ask me to pay a full tithe. I'll read what you want me to read. Dear Lord, if genealogy is not implied, I never did like to search books for the names of people who've died. I'll give what you want me to give, dear Lord, and I'm sure I'll not begrudge it, but I haven't the money to spare to pay on welfare or a budget. Yes, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll serve you with all my might, but don't ask me to go to the temple because I'm much too busy each night." The Lord is with all those who try to do His will. The greatest blessings come from obedience. When we demonstrate obedience, the Lord is bound to bestow upon us His blessings. Let us help each other, teach our neighbors, We cannot effectively teach what we do not practice. Seek the Lord in prayer, and He will strengthen your faith and give you courage to do. If you desire the blessings of the Lord and seek them in prayer, with faithful obedience, He will open the way for you to do His will and receive those blessings which are for your good. I pray the blessings of the Lord to be upon all of us, that as each step in the gospel comes to us, we will have the power to accept it with obedience, and by obedience receive the blessings of the Lord, that we may even receive blessings of exaltation and eternal life. These blessings I ask from the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.